Hi, Paul Frankis, Good News Broadcast. I'm speaking with the founder, Donna Cryer, of CEO of Global Liver Institute. Hi, Donna. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. And Wayne Estridge was... Oh, nice to get a chance to speak with you again. Wayne Estridge is the Fatty Liver Foundation President and CEO. Hey, Wayne. How are you?
Very good. Thanks.
Great. All right. Well, we've done a lot of shows on coronavirus and how it affects other parts of the body and maybe it affects the liver. Or the liver affects the coronavirus or whatever. We're not sure about a lot of things, I guess, in this world sometimes. Tell us a little about your organization. Is fatty liver, is the liver involved with coronavirus somehow?
Oh, well, that's something that people don't really get because you see in discussions of the virus that people are dying who have pre-existing conditions, and they don't talk much about the fact that the liver is probably involved in the majority of those. They mention diabetes and heart disease, but... You know, type 2 diabetics, 70% of them have fatty liver disease. So it is comorbid with COVID and is a frequent contributor to mortality and to really bad courses of disease. And one of the reasons that we want to teach people about NASH is that nobody knows about it. It's not a disease that's commonly understood. It's basically if you have two friends, one of you has a fatty liver, and that's kind of a startling statistic to most people. It develops because of fat infiltration in the liver, because of our lifestyle and our sedentary habits and our diet, and when it becomes fibrosis, it develops scar tissue in the liver, and that's what we call NASH. And that ends up as cirrhosis, which I'm personally a patient of. And that led me into forming the foundation. But, you know, the real message of the day, you know, is NASH Day is next week, the 12th of June. And that part of our mission is to educate people through NASH Day about NASH and just try to spread the word that it's a serious problem even without COVID.
And what does NASH stand for?
Non-alcoholic steatohepatitis. So that's a big mouthful, but it just means scar tissue in the liver.
Wayne, what's concerning this year, though, about the NASH Day?
I guess I'll take that question since Global Liver Institute. Yeah, the Global Liver Institute is the convener for International NASH Day. Which at this point comprises work with 50 different partner organizations around in about 20 different countries. And we're really excited that we have been endorsed by the two major hepatology or liver doctor organizations in the U.S. and Europe. And we have 30 speakers who are really providing the backbone of the day of June 12th, where we'll have six different virtual panels, six different webinars on topics related to different aspects of NASH. So whether that's the fact that children can have NASH and or it is the issue of NASH with the concurrent diseases like diabetes and obesity, as Wayne has been discussing. So it's really exciting and even more urgent today, this year, during this pandemic where so much attention, of course, has been elsewhere. But as Wayne, you know, so well articulated, you know, patients who are diagnosed with COVID, their liver enzymes are going up. So almost every COVID patient becomes a liver patient. And then those of us who already have underlying liver diseases are at greater chance for adverse events. And so much care and research and screening have been delayed because of the reallocation of healthcare resources and attention to COVID, that it's really important that we put a stake in the ground and we have a day, a moment to stop and really think about what NASH patients need and how we can, even in this era of COVID, because, you know, it's not a week, it's not a month, it's this ongoing new normal. So how can we safely get patients screened? And we know we can. There are new non-invasive technologies like liver multi-scan and others that you can deliver safely in and even during this COVID environment, that there's care that can be safely delivered. There are clinical trials that need to continue, and that there are, you know, drug approvals that still need to move forward. So drawing attention on June 12th is even more important in 2020 than it was in 2019.
I have a question for either one of you. Non-alcoholics, how does somebody know, I have a fatty liver? And I know I have a fatty liver because I went, you know, I got a sonogram, okay, because I had some pain in that area. And at least that's how I learned I have a fatty liver. Maybe there's other ways, I don't know. In any case, but I'm not an excessive drinker, but I've drank. How does somebody know whether they're an alcoholic fatty liver or a non-alcoholic fatty liver?
That's really a distinction made by medical, by the medicine, because the result is the same either way. You get the same effect on the liver from alcohol or from steatohepatitis, but they have chosen to include the alcoholic or non-alcoholic, which we think is a real problem because it distorts people's concern about the whole thing. They're basically the same disease. There are minor differences in the liver itself about just where the damage occurs, but they're indistinguishable as they get into the end stages.
I think about it as, you know, different toxic. I would think about it as, you know, a different toxic effects on the liver. So you can have liver damage from too much acetaminophen, for example. That's a toxic, you know, assault on the liver. You can have liver damage from, you know, too much, you know, food and sugar over time. That's a toxic effect on the liver. You can have too much alcohol, and that could have a toxic effect on the liver. And so, you know, we're doing increasing, you know, research as to genetic markers and other things that may have different predispositions. There are autoimmune liver diseases. Viral hepatitis is another type of, you know, a viral assault on the liver. So, you know, what's less important is the particular cause of the damage, but just acknowledging and getting people screened in to recognize that there is some type of process that is damaging the liver, and whatever it is, whether it's a virus or alcohol or fat, really helping people to stop that assault so that the liver can have a chance to heal and regenerate. And if it is already too damaged, then that perhaps they're a candidate for transplant, or hopefully soon we'll have medications on the market. But that's more important than trying to figure out, you know, or blame folks or do a fine tune. Just recognize that an assault has sort of overcome the liver's processes for self-healing.
And it's not good to be overweight, is it?
It's not.
Not good.
Not good. That's the way that my doctor says it's the only way that I can maybe make this a little better on myself. I don't know if that's so, but...
Yeah, well, that was really my story. I was, you know, an American fat guy. I put on a pound or two a year for 50 years, and in the end, I damaged my liver, and so I had to lose a whole bunch of weight in order to manage it. So that really is critical that people understand that.
Where do we go on the 12th to tune in? How can we?
On the 12th, you can go to globalliver.org. We'll have information on signing up for all the different webinars, as well as the Global Liver Institute Twitter and Instagram and Facebook sites. We'll have everything people need to engage.
All righty. Well, thank you both very much. And Don, thanks for serving on the steering committee also, Rare Disease Diversity Steering Committee on the Black Women's Health as well, imperative. All right. You two are both doing wonderful things and for a long time, and I congratulate you. And it's always a good moment to get a few minutes with you to share the good stuff that you're doing. Thanks for the good news.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.